Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. We're out west, Ashburn, VA. Commanders, short week. Today is going to be the big day. Normally, Tuesday is an off day. It ain't today because they
not today, baby.
Night. How you doing, B?
I'm good, man.
So a lot of times people kind of ask me. People are often surprised at how good a vision I have. You know, because I can really spot things from far away. Like when I play golf with people, they're like, "You can't see that." I'm like,
"You can't see a damn thing, dude.
Can't see a damn thing." So last night I had to do the alt cast, and I think the producers were confused why I kept looking. They're like, "Why are you looking away from the camera?" And I'm like, "Because I gotta watch the game, and I can't see that television over there. I can't tell what the damn score is." But today I think was a really good example of exactly where my vision is.
Okay.
So I got here. We both got here. You were here before me. I got here about 9:45 or so. And I noticed your car was kind of parked further back in the actual gravel spots. I pulled up into my usual park under this tree spot. Uh-huh. You know, by the time all the media gets here, the whole damn thing will be full, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But I see your car, and then usually a lot of times I feel like you wait for me, and then we kind of walk up together. And so I was getting my belongings, getting ready to walk up, and I noticed you were still back at your car, and then I look back, and a truck had pulled up. And to my eye, it looked like a Tundra, right? And so to my eye, I'm like, oh, it's our friend Greg.
Oh, you thought it was Greg?
So,
Greg is not black, though.
Well, I walked over there, and as I got closer and closer, I could not – I don't see race, B. I could not identify who it was. But like,
and Greg is not that damn short.
That's what I – finally, I was like, all right, that's definitely not Greg because this dude is – 5'8" or whatever, and then as I got
a
closer,
black dude with a gray beard, you thought it was Greg.
As I got closer and closer,
with no tattoos,
I realized it was Ricky Irvin's and not Greg Height. If you know Greg, he's probably 6'1" white dude, and Ricky's probably
he is not 6'1".
6 foot?
Nope.
He's about my height.
He's about 5'11", 5'10".
You think I'm taller than him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then what?
Greg's miniature, man.
All right, well, then either way, one of them's a white dude and one of them's a black dude, and I couldn't tell until I got like 20 feet from you, and I was like, all right, B, I'm going to walk in. It was not my best showing. Not my best showing.
Oh, man, you are ridiculous.
Landfill and Jeff, you've seen my vision, you know, up close. You've seen just how dialed in I am. Does that surprise you at all?
No, I think you had poor eyesight, so you adapted to have those really big ears.
That is insane.
I'm like an iguana. I change, you know.
Exact shift.
Oh, man. Oh, you all are crazy. Oh, I did not know that you thought that was damn Rick or Greg.
I saw the truck, and I was like, all right, it looks like Greg's truck. And then I didn't know what was going on out of the back of your car. It looked like some sort of land deal or something.
It was a deal, man. You know. See, it was a money deal.
Well, when I saw that it was a deal, it was even more reason why I thought it was Greg.
So Ricky and I played this tournament on Thursday.
Right.
Me, him, and Raven. And Ricky said, "Man, I don't hit my driver no more." So he was hitting this little like hybrid thing.
I do love your Ricky impression.
And I say, "Rick, hit my mini driver." He said, "What?" I said, "Hit the mini driver." He go, "Man, what's a mini driver?" So he hit it, and he hits the hell out of it. Then we get to a hole that was playing 297. Ricky is pin high. Ricky say, "I buy that from you."
That's awesome.
And I say, "Man, you can just take it, go get you one." He said, nah,
I
man.
I want that
Yours one. Already fixed up. So I noticed I have the exact shaft. You know I have that extra shaft in my
sure.
bag? It's the exact shaft that's in that mini driver. So I went and I ordered another mini driver, which I'm going to just have my man Ken fix that one. And I just sold Ricky the other one.
There you have it.
So he ended up with a $400 club with a $650 shaft in it for $200.
It's a good deal. It's good to have friends.
Jeff, you want to buy a mini driver?
Jeff, it ain't going to help you, man. I didn't.
Jeff need a driver to hit it for him.
I didn't watch a ton of Monday Night Football because I was doing the Altcast. It was crazy watching this Wizards game. The NBA is just such a wild sport. They had it to like 5 or 6 in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left, and they lost by 22. Like it goes quick in that.
But you know what I noticed? I'm going to tell you what I noticed last night. Now, we can say we want about Tua, but Tua makes that offense go.
Totally.
And I flip it over. We talk so much about how the league figured out the offense that Kyle was running with Robert and how the league will figure out offense. They have figured out the offense that Rams run. Because all the Rams do is do crossings all day. Yep. And they want you to bump in each other. What they're doing is passing them off. And that's effective. Now, Puka Nacua, he is damn good. You know, he can catch, he can run the ball. But people are starting to limit the big bursts that they get all the time.
It's remarkable looking at. So I had the game on the radio for the final, like, in the beginning, late in the third, the whole fourth quarter. Got to listen to Ron call the game, which is always interesting. The Rams offensively moved the ball better than Miami throughout this game. They just couldn't stay on the field on third down. Mm-hmm. The Rams ended up with 100 yards more offense. They ran 15 more plays. They had 5 more first downs, but they were 3 of 12 on third down. Their turnovers came at the wrong time, but they outgained Miami per play and total for the game. Neither team really ran the ball very well. The Rams threw for almost 100 yards more than Miami. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they ended up chasing late in that game. I was pretty surprised there was a Sean McVay decision late in this thing where he kicked a field goal. I think they were down 11. So I understand that you're going to need
the two.
You're going to need two scores.
You gotta go for two later.
But he ended up kicking from the Miami 4. Like, it was fourth and goal from the 4. I get it. But you're also going to need a score, and there's no guarantee you're going to get to the 4 again.
Yeah.
I understood it in the moment. Ron, I'm listening to Ron call the game, and he understood it in the moment, which also led me to think, okay, maybe you should go. There's no like clear and easy decision there.
It's not.
It's just you're 4 yards away from a touchdown that you desperately need. Because you're still going to need a field goal and a 2.
But he's still thinking in that point, hit the field goal.
Play some defense.
Play some great defense. Or at that point, you could possibly go for the onside, you know, and then – if you get that, then boom, boom, you probably. But either way, it's going to be difficult. What if they go for the touchdown and don't get it there?
You're done anyway.
Well, I think so what happened is they kicked and then they couldn't get a stop. Miami had an 8-play, 40-yard drive that ended in a field goal. Now, granted, they kicked a 50-yarder or whatever, but that effectively ended the game. I don't know what to make of this. I kind of want to do a version of Who's Cooked Today. Because I want to look at the bottom of some of these playoff scenarios. And, I mean, just in the AFCB, the Dolphins get that win last night. Tua's back playing pretty well. The Dolphins are now the 10 seed. Like, of the bottom of the AFC, you've got the Broncos at 5-5. The Colts are 4-6. The Bengals are 4-6. The Dolphins are now 3-6. Do you think any of that bunch climbs back into this thing?
No. I'm looking at it. I don't think either one of them are going to be able to climb. I just think
you have
I kept
some
hearing people
trouble there.
Just it was set up wrong. It was moving too much.
Right.
But I heard them saying, "Well, the Dolphins can climb back. They're 3-6 now, right?"
Yeah.
You think they're about to go 7-1?
It's hard to believe.
You know, I just don't see it.
If you get to 9-8 from 3-6, is what 6-2, right? Yeah. It's hard.
But. What I'm seeing at this point, last night, what's coming at 2 catches for 13 yards? Tyreek.
A-Chain did nothing for him.
So I don't know. Listen, is it – we just mentioned the stuff.
Bro,
about,
nobody really did anything. That's
But I talked about
they played
Sean. I talked about Tua. Is it just that the Rams' defense sucks after Aaron Donald left? Did Aaron Donald play that damn good to where he made that defense look that?
It's a huge hole, clearly.
Because he was pressuring quarterbacks and tackling running backs and chasing down damn receivers. Like, now they look very, very underwhelming.
Sure. I'm with you. I think All right, so of that game last night, the Dolphins are now 3-6. They're in the 10 spot in the AFC.
Okay.
Not only are they still chasing the Broncos, who are 5-5, they're two games behind them, they're a game behind the Colts and the Bengals. I still think the Bengals could maybe get hot. You look at the NFC, after losing that game last night, the Rams are now 4-5. They're in third or fourth place in the NFC West. The Cardinals are 6-4. The Niners are right behind them at 5-4. The Rams and the Seahawks are 4-5. The Rams are now the 11th seed in the NFC. The Rams are behind the Bears right now, for goodness sakes. What do you think of the Rams' prospects going forward?
I don't think very highly of it. See, what I'm saying, Jay, is...
Do you think the Niners get hot now that they've got Purdy and McCaffrey and everybody's coming back?
Well, that thing about it, how long McCaffrey going to be healthy and be there for him?
You know, fair question.
But it's not just McCaffrey and Purdy. Their defense has been dominant when they've been on this run. It wasn't all about Purdy and McCaffrey. That defense was dominant.
Sure.
And right now, they are not dominant by no stretch of the imagination.
The Dolphins, I don't think, will get hot. But just hear me out. Patriots, Saints, Jets, that's three wins. Then you've got the Cardinals and the Seahawks. The Bills and the Eagles. I think the Dolphins are getting close to cooked. If you look, I'm sorry, that was the Rams. The Rams, with Sam Fran maybe getting hot in that division. The Dolphins, I'm not closing the door on. They go Raiders, Pats, their next two. So all of a sudden, they are 3-6.
Yeah.
They go Raiders, Pats with their next two at home. Get to 5-6, then you're at Green Bay, Jets, at Houston, Niners. They finish with Browns, Jets, both on the road. But who knows what, by week 17, what are the Browns going to look like? Who's fired? Who's the quarterback?
I mean, if Jameis is quarterback, and Jameis may be out there trying to do some things.
Yeah, but when Jameis does some things, that could go either way.
Hey, they beat the Ravens.
Sure, and then they lost the following week.
Yeah, but they beat the Ravens, though. So I'm talking about... We're talking about a team, the Dolphins, who have not looked good all year.
Week 18, January 5th. So you're talking 2025, 1-5-2-5. Yeah. Who's the quarterback for the New York Jets? Who's the coach of the New York Jets?
They got their little coach. They're going all the way through with this now.
Well, they have no choice.
They have no choice with that. But
Ulbrich,
it's going to be Aaron.
What's my man's name?
It's going to be Aaron, and he'll find a way to blame somebody else. He'll find a way to blame the interim coach. He will never blame Hackett, though.
I'm calling my shot. By 1-5-2-5, Tyrod's starting that game. Aaron's toe's gonna hurt. He got lymph node problems. Whatever. There's no way they're 3-7 right now. The Jets have the Colts, which.
But he's blaming this all on everybody else. He is one of the biggest problems they have right now.
Absolutely, yeah. He's been bad. But what I am telling you is he is not starting a. Early January, freezing rain and sleet in the Meadowlands game against the Dolphins. Like his pinky toe will be infected. Something will happen that he needs to be immunized for in Mexico. There's no way. They're 3-7. Looking at this Jets schedule. Colts, Seahawks, Dolphins, Jags. I mean, there are some bad teams on here, but they're also bad. Like, we need to recalibrate that. If they're 5 and what would that be, 11? Going into week 18, no way Rodgers starts that game.
Well, I mean, that's what they went for. That's what they wanted, and that's what they get.
That is what you get.
You know?
You get what you ask for. As we move forward on this, like, incredibly accelerated calendar for Washington, they are going to have practice today. Now, I don't think there's going to be much physicality to either of these practices. I do think today will be a long day.
These are going to be walkthroughs.
Right, but with installs for Thursday night's game.
Yeah.
But not at a very fast pace.
Hell no.
And then they're going to have meetings. I think these guys are going to be in the building until at least 5:30 tonight. And then tomorrow, I'd expect to be quicker. Tomorrow,
I think they're going to suggest some guys stay longer than that because you're going to get some extra treatment tonight.
Totally. I think tomorrow, hell, you might know, they're flying to Philly, which getting everybody from here to Signature is probably, or Dulles.
I was just told I'm flying to Philly. I thought I was driving.
Okay. Well, I guess I can't get a ride with you.
I was going to offer you, too.
It's all good. Well, it probably makes more sense for you for us to be out here tomorrow then. Because what time's that flight leaving?
I don't know that yet. He's going to tell me in a few.
4 o'clock?
4-5 or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'll be ready for it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. But, like, tomorrow they're going to have to practice, then travel to Philly, which isn't a big deal. It's how long are you in the air for a flight to Philly, especially traveling that
I
way?
I was in the air for 35 minutes going to Newark.
And that was a commercial
Philly is shorter than that.
And that was commercial, yes. Where you got to, like, get cleared and everything. This will be.
Well, they got to get cleared just like everything else, though. It's just that they don't have to go through all the airports.
Right. Yeah. I think the actual travel won't be the problem. The list of injuries, though, continues to grow. They had to put out yesterday's an estimated press release, so I don't think you don't necessarily need to read everything into it, but I want to go through this line by line because, Brian, it's starting to stack up, and it is a short week, and granted they'll get a big break on the back end of this before Dallas comes to town, but this is not a great situation for the old Washington Commanders going to a Philly team that is surging, dude. You got the Eagles have now won 5 in a row. They're starting to win.
They may start feeling good about themselves, Jay.
Listen, any given Sunday, Thursday night, Washington plays well up there. The injury situation is far from ideal for the Washington Commanders. We're going to go through line by line. We are live out in Ashburn getting ready for a busy, busy, busy week. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Nobody go anywhere.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Shout out to Soul Asylum. All right, here's how things work in the NFL. This has largely existed for gambling, and don't let them lie to you and tell you something different. They've been putting out injury reports for 40 years, and gambling only became legal, what, 5-7 years ago? Mm-hmm. So draw your own conclusions with that. Anyway, because this is a Thursday night game, they are obligated to provide a Monday injury report. Normally, your first injury report for Sunday games comes out Wednesday, but the schedule all gets crunched up and sped up. Chopped and screwed, like they say in Houston. So here we are. Okay, so Philadelphia Eagles provide their injury report. Linebacker who I love that I wanted Ron to draft and nobody listens to me, N'Kobe Dean, kid out of Georgia, has been really good. He was a DNP on Monday, did not practice. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, nobody practices on Monday. These are all estimations. Mm-hmm. It's just because of the accelerated time.
I just saw a little thing with him. He basically read a play, knew what they were going to do, and when they threw the ball, boom, picked it off.
Dude, the interception he made was phenomenal.
That's what I'm talking about. When he went up
that
for
was against Jacksonville. Yeah. Dallas Goedert, tight end, they just got back. He's on the injury report with an ankle DNP for Monday's estimated practice. Now, they're probably doing some semblance of a walkthrough, so there's some reality here. But these are our big names for Philly. Darius Slay, ankle DNP. Devontae Smith, and a wide receiver that's really important in that Eagles offense, hamstring DNP. All right, those are your four DMPs. Then you got DN Bryce Huff, who has really been a disappointment for Philly this season after coming over from the Jets. There was a lot of excitement there. He was a full participant with a wrist. Jordan Mailata, hamstring. Now, Mailata, I don't know what to expect.
That's a big boy right there, dude.
Well, he's been on the IR. He hasn't played.
Damn.
They're just opening his window to return. I'm not sure I would expect him to play this week. It'd be weird to open a window and then have a guy come back on an early week, but if he's ready, he's ready.
Was it kind of a situation just like we had with Lattimore where, you know, you figure he wouldn't play Sunday, but you hoping he'll go Thursday?
So I don't know that answer, and I don't know that answer for Lattimore either.
Nah, I know. I'm just saying, but I think that's what people were
hoping for.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah.
We need to get our Philly guys on the show, whether it's Zangaro or Ruben or something. Maybe we do that for tomorrow, Landfill, and get a better idea what this kind of what these injuries are for the Eagles. I'm just looking briefly at what is this, Bleeding Green Nation. He hurt the hammy week 6 against the Browns. Was on IR.
All the big boys don't hurt the hammy. He's that fast?
Well, he was seen on crutches, so maybe they're calling it a hamstring and it could be something else. According to this, Now, I don't know who writes for Bleeding Green Nation. It seems pretty unlikely for this weekend, for Thursday night, but we'll keep an eye on it. Now, Devontae Smith played in their last game in Dallas, had two catches for 14 yards, not a lot to it. The week before, 4 for 87 with a touchdown against Jacksonville. So him being on the injury report is something to monitor. Obviously, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith combined are a real problem. Let's get to the Washington injury report because it's fairly significant.
All right. How many people on it?
You want to guess?
I'm going to go with 15. Because you could put 46, 53 on it right now, but I'm going to say they got about 15 people listed.
12.
All right, I was close.
12 listed. And
they're going to have some other guy don't practice just because they are certain ages.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll get about the 15 of them.
They might have more today, yeah. Honestly. This is based on yesterday's estimation. Nick Ballor, the linebacker who's been really good on special teams, was a DNP with a knee. Marshawn Lattimore, the corner they just traded for from New Orleans, DNP with the hammy. Austin Seibert, the kicker who missed last week's game. I mean, it should be noted that Lattimore was inactive last week. Seibert was inactive last week. Seibert DNP with the hip. You want me to keep going, or do you want to have a I think Ballor will be fine. That's my hunch.
Wait, 5'7"?
Number-wise?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
He's a maniac on special teams.
He's exactly what.
I love that dude on special teams.
Yeah, 57, 6'1", 250, 35 years old, still running around just like
a complete
and utter
man. Nothing wrong with 35, brother.
Sure. What do you think with Lattimore?
About playing?
Yeah.
I'm having a little hunch saying he's going to.
Really?
But I wouldn't be surprised if they were to wait. This is a situation where you traded for a guy who you know can outright play. And you would much rather have him down the stretch than try to force him for an early game. But if he's ready to go, I am walking him to the field.
If he's ready to go, this is a game you need him.
Hell yeah.
We talked yesterday about A.J. Brown. He's averaging about 100 yards a game against Washington, 5 touchdowns in 4 contests. The Eagles are 3-1 when A.J. Brown's on the field against Washington. Like, he is a difference maker for their offense. Big, physical guy. Lattimore's the kind of corner that can match up against him.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, not to say any one player swings anything. No one single play wins or loses a game. But if you get Lattimore on the field for this one, I think it would make a really, really big impact. Especially you saw an offense in Pittsburgh that really wasn't that fluid connect on 3 passing touchdowns. And 2 of them were, you know, Pickens makes an incredible play. Mike Williams, they traded for 4 days earlier. Russ drops one in the basket for him. Like, you could really use a boost to the secondary. That's why you make the trade. That's why you give up a day 2 pick.
Yeah.
Seibert, kicker, hip. When Seibert first landed on the injury report this time last week, I was like, man, I don't like seeing a kicker on the injury report.
Yeah.
I still don't. Gonzo made 2 kicks the other day, never got a chance for a game winner. I like that they were proactive, found a guy they can trust, you know. I don't think it's the end of the world, but you'd like to see Seibert back out there. When do you care? I think Lattimore.
Sorry.
It's all right. We're talking about kickers, and you kicked me.
I'm trying to see if I still got it, Jake.
Lattimore, you take to the final second. Seibert, are you a little more cautious because you got a guy?
You're cautious because Gonzo, as you call him, Gonzalez, did not miss a kick.
I like calling him Gonzo. How do you feel about that?
Gonzo has a big nose, man. Does he have a big nose?
I think – no, remember the dude that was, like, clearly juicing, but the guy that for the Diamondbacks that was, like, a little second baseman that all of a sudden was hitting, like, 50 bombs a year?
I'm about a cartoon.
You're right. Now that you say that, that was Gonzo.
Listen, man, I'm not concerned at this point because Seibert was damn good and then Gonzo hasn't missed any, okay? If Gonzo misses and Seibert hip keeps going, that would be a problem. But I think that's the reason why – I know we always say, oh, you don't want to have – you need to have a kicker on your practice squad because kickers and punters kick a lot. And like Tress, remember he was hurt that year?
Yeah.
You just banging every time with your left, with your left, with your left. It's going to wear down some. So you need somebody to take a little of that pressure, because what they try to do with the jugs machine is shoot the jugs a lot. But what if something happens to the starting guy? Don't you need to have somebody that's been kicking a lot and being ready for it just as well?
Yeah, I think we'll see today if Seibert's kicking, but I would go into this probably leaning Gonzalez as your kicker. Whereas Lattimore, it's like, yo, if we can get to – when are inactives due Thursday? That game kicks at 8:15, so what's 90 minutes before that, 6:45? I think you take the Lattimore decision to 6:44 p.m. Like, until you absolutely know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a game-time decision, as they would say.
Right.
Even if they know today that he can – it's still going to be a game-time decision.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them ruling him out Wednesday, but they ain't, what's the point of saying it today?
Yeah. I'm saying, if they know he's going to play or not, it's still going to be a game-time decision,
right,
no matter which way it goes to me.
All right, this one I think is really big. And if there are people out there wondering if Brian and I are going to talk about every player on the Commanders injury report,
no,
2 days before, yeah, I mean, when it gets to the offensive lineman, when it gets to a guy that I think you believe might be the most important free agent acquisition, and we saw that he was clearly playing very hurt Sunday, Tyler Biadasz is on the injury report, ribs, thumb, and foot.
He's offensive lineman, though.
He is beat up, man. he was listed as a limited participant Monday in an estimation. I think he's going to play. I think he is very, very beat up.
But you know what, though? I think you got to also understand this. Offensive linemen are always beat up. And when I talked about the pain threshold thing earlier,
sure,
this year, I forgot who we were talking about. We kept talking about the pain threshold.
That was Jaden.
Yeah, it was Jaden. You have people who, they do this on a weekly basis, so it's nothing new to them. If they have one or two things, well, now you bring in a third thing, it may be a little bit more bother. But ultimately, that's all they know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know what was hurt on me until I retired from football. It's like, when you're constantly doing it and preparing for it, like, a lot of guys don't notice the injuries until the offseason. Because when you're into it and working at it, it doesn't really show itself as much. So these guys, the offensive linemen, every one of those damn dudes probably banged up or hurting something. That's why they wear knee braces on both knees. They wear the arm braces. They have all the equipment because they're being hit from angles they don't even much want to be hit from. They don't know they're being hit. Their players, their own players are running into their backs. So, but he is a badass dude. And I listen, him off the field troubles me. Him on the field, I don't have a problem. Whether he's hurt or not, when he's on the field, he's going to bring it.
How does he trouble you off the field?
If he's not playing.
Oh. I thought you meant like what he does.
No. Like, if he's not playing, that is a problem.
Dude, I agree. And I like Dieter. I like the backup, yeah, a lot.
I like Dieter because he can play golf too.
Yo, he bombs it. Biadasz has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that is a circle to me. Because we saw him have to come off the field Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like these dudes are freaking warriors. And something was going to the point where he had to come off for a little bit. Now, he barely missed many snaps. Dieter was fine in the couple he was out there. But I'm with you. I think the Biadasz situation is a major one to watch.
Kelsey, Damani Dawson.
Sure.
Jeff Bostic, Raleigh McKenzie. You think about how well those offensive line played that was around them. Because when you got an anchor in the middle and you know he's going to wipe out stuff in the middle and then he can pass all the messages down the line, that's great for your offensive line, man.
Well, and so I'm looking at the official injury report here, right? And the only linemen that are listed are Biadasz, Coleman, and Wiley. Coleman is listed on here with a shoulder, limited. Now, go back to training camp. He missed some time with whether it was shoulder or pec or whatever that was. He missed some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wiley wasn't able to go last week with the shoulder. Had a big old wrap on there. Was dressed in case there was an emergency. That is your starting center and a tackle on each side. Cornelius Lucas also on here with the ankle as limited. I don't know that you're getting Big Luke back on a short week. He still seems to be moving around pretty gingerly. What I can guarantee you is,
mm-hmm,
the two starting guards, Nick Allegretti and Sam Cosmi, aren't listed. They are beat up too. Like, yeah. There's no way you get to late November, mid-November in the NFL, and these guys have started every game that they're not beat up.
I'm going to throw something at people,
and I think that makes the other guys want to play.
That's all the big dudes.
Right.
And they get hurt too, huh? So when people are like, oh, he's small, he's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to get hurt. It's 100% guaranteed. You play pro football, you will get hurt at some time.
Especially if you're playing interior offensive line or on the offensive line. I think when you look at this kind of injury report, it's a serious hurt or injured conversation.
Yeah.
Because everybody's hurt. I mean,
all
everybody's
time.
Beat up.
Totally.
We haven't talked about a player that in the games he's missed, the team is now 1-2. They have a losing record when Brian Robinson is not on the field. Let's have a B-Rob discussion, and let's have a broader discussion about getting the run game back on track. And does that start behind center? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Kick a little something. All righty. We're up on the stream. Been up there for – I know. I'm going to hammer those. I'll finish them all right now. Leville, you think I can eat 3 miniature Kit Kats during this segment?
I mean, probably. That's not that difficult.
It's the one food that I can compete with anybody in the world. This size Kit Kat. If you're watching the stream, it's the Halloween size Kit Kat. I can eat. Like, you can put me against Kobayashi. This is the one thing I can handle.
Kobayashi will kill you.
I don't know, man. Shout out to the stream. YouTube.com/1067. I'm going to log in here. Who do you think? B. Mitch. First comment of the day.
Don't know.
You know this person.
Rev T, mm-mm. Debbie, mm-mm. Jupe. Mm-mm. I know, damn, Commander Tequila.
Bang. And he didn't even write, usually the first person writes good morning or something. He just wrote winner, winner, chicken. He said winner, winner, no chicken dinner. I guess he's going vegetarian.
Oh, man. I think Commander Tequila, he tries to be way out there. And he's succeeding.
Shout out to the boys in the aquarium. I don't think we've said good morning yet. Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Great, fellas. How y'all?
We good.
Hello.
We're good. Landini, we're kind of going through this line by line, the injury report on a short week. How concerned are you about the situation?
I mean, it's an issue. They were clearly banged up last week, and they just played a game, and they have another one in a couple of days. I mean, that's not – you usually want to see guys – even when they get 7 days in between, you know, you still have a lot of injury problems. So, yeah, I'm worried.
Jeffrey, what say you?
Looking at these names, I'm very worried. But we'll be all right. We'll just see what happens game day.
I mean, ultimately, all you can ever do is see what happens game day. The B-Rob situation, Brian, at this point, he has missed 3 games this season. I'm a fan of Brian Robinson. He's a hell of a running back. He's super physical. He's now missed time. I don't even like thinking about the rookie season because of what happened to him before the year started.
Yep.
Last year he played 15 games, but was very much banged up in some of those. So far this year he's played 7 out of 10. What do you think B-Rob's status is on a short week where when he missed the Giants game, a lot of the idea was, okay, well, he missed that. And then remember, even what DQ said is, yeah, we're really going to ramp him up Wednesday, Thursday, where we think all signs are pointing towards something good this week. Then he misses the Steeler game. Now you're on a short week.
He didn't play. So
right. And they said this was trending the right way.
I'm leaning towards him playing this week.
You think?
Because he didn't play last week. And I think that is part of the reason he didn't play, because they were leaning towards having him ready for the division game more than having him ready for the Steeler game.
See, I think they were hoping to have him ready for the Steeler game, and then it didn't go the way.
If he's not 100% at that point, why play him in that game, and then he won't be able to play in those both?
So people were asking me this, like, if you're resting guys, I find it really hard to believe in a – it's only a 17-game season, right? Like, in the concept of resting guys in hockey or hoops, I understand. You got 80 games. Certainly, the division aspect of the Philly game makes it more important. Hmm? But can you really pull off, this dude's only at 95%, we're rested? Like, what is the threshold where it's like, all right, we're going to keep him down? Because, to your point, most of that locker room made it 100%.
Yeah, but they are not looking at 95%.
What is the what do you 95%
for a regular football player is 100%.
Right.
You're looking at the 75-80 at that point. Because what I'm saying is you could rush Brian, you could have rushed him back last week. And he probably wanted to play.
He definitely wanted
to. I watched the conversation with them before the game, and then I saw him after the game. Okay? And when you look at that facial expression, how he interacted and was acting with them, he wanted to play. But then if I'm a guy who's making those decisions, do I risk playing him in this game, he gets hurt and can't play in the next one too? Or do I let him get closer to healthy and have him for the next game? He missed 3 games this year so far. We have guys on the other team missed 10 games and 11 games and 5 games, 6 games. I think at this point you're going to try to make sure you get him for most games that you can because not many people play a full season anymore. You know, you hear about guys playing
– especially running back.
16 years and haven't missed a game. That don't happen too much anymore.
I don't know what it means for this week. I know that it's – clearly there's something – bigger than they were hoping because it DQ doesn't say anything about injuries.
Smart.
But he offered information last Wednesday about B-Rob that was pretty optimistic. And then as the week progressed, the optimism waned, which to me is there's something there. Whether it was just he wasn't as far ahead as we thought or he, you know, something else occurred, whatever it is.
I think this. They lost the game by 1 point. They had 5-6 drops. They had the defense gave them turnovers. They had situations where the offense don't. They didn't. They felt they could win that game against the Steelers without a great running game.
They lost by a point.
They were right there. Now, listen, this game was vitally more important. All of them are important. But I think beating the Eagles is more important than beating the Steelers.
Sure. You're now a half game back in the division. The Eagles are in first place. Not to mention, dude, it's far too early for these conversations, but the Niners have everybody healthy now. They're outside of the playoffs looking in. They're 5-4. Washington's 7-3. Somebody is going to – you get to 7-4 after this week, it gets – things start to get interesting because you still have the Packers at 6 wins. There's a ton of football left, but we're getting close to Thanksgiving. Soon people are going to be carving turkeys. You're going to be frying them. Like, this is when you start to pay attention
to all of this. Don't be broadcasting that.
You have, like, a turkey fry party.
Don't broadcast that.
Cody always tweets about it.
The people that know knows.
Cody
has about 1,500 followers at the most.
And about 15 screwdrivers. here's a question, and it's basic. But in the games where he has not played, Washington is 1-2. And the one win is over a pretty damn bad Giants team. And Washington, in those games, their run game has suffered. Can they win Thursday without Brian Robinson?
I think they can, but I think it'll be much more difficult. Because I feel Slay has been hurt too, okay? And Slay is their best corner. So I feel we can have success against them through the air. So, and I believe also they are not as quick on the edges as the Steelers were. So I believe that Timothy Daniels will be coming out. I believe he's going to be ready for that game, man, seriously.
I wonder how healthy Jaden is. I mean, he took some shots the other night. He's still dealing with all this. Now, none of that, when I say that, people jump to far too many conclusions. Like, I'm not talking about ability to play in this game. He's going to play. I'm saying, like, I wonder how beat up he still is. And I think a lot of folks only look at things in binary terms of will he or won't he play. There's a lot of gray area between
them. He's had 13 games. Well, basically 11 games with preseason. They played about a less than a game in preseason.
Yeah.
He's had 11 games now. And that's like a college season. So
right.
It's his rookie season. So obviously he is. But that dude is built different.
Mentally.
He's mentally different.
I agree with that
for sure.
And
even physically, because you watch the things he's taken and come back. You watch in college he did it. You watch in the pros he's done it. You got to have a mental toughness in this league to be able to get through it and get to the next level. To be able to be that guy week in and week out. everybody deals with it at one point. You question every once in a while.
They got a ball game in 2 days. Nobody go anywhere. Barstool Nate next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.